I want to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to Old Testament prophet. We're going to look at Haggai, or Haggai, depending on how you say it, and how many syllables you need. So let's go to Haggai. So that's between the two Z's. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And so we're going to start a series through this short Old Testament prophet. And it's just three chapters, but it's got an important message. So Haggai, the name Haggai means festal or feast. And we don't really know that much about the prophet Haggai. Maybe he was born on a feast day. Maybe that's why they named him a feast. Or maybe he liked to eat. I don't know. But that's what the name means. But the important thing that we need to understand about this minor prophet is the time period, the background. And we see that in verse 1, it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest." And so that gives us a brief overview of the time period, but to really understand what's going on here, we could go back and I guess turn, if you would please, to Ezra to get the background here. Book of Ezra helps us understand this setting. And so if you turn to Ezra chapter 3, but remember what's going on in Ezra. We've got the return to the land after the Babylonian captivity. Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave a decree that God had told him that whoever wanted to could go back up and build the house of the Lord. And so we're told about all the different people that left and returned to Israel. We have a whole list of them. And it turns out to be over 42,000 Jews end up returning. And then here in Ezra 3, we're told that they get started here. Ezra 3, verse 3, "They set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings there unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the feast of the tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom." And so they get started here. They are getting started in building the temple. They're laying the foundation even of the temple. And verse 10 tells us that. But we come to Ezra chapter 4 and we start learning about trouble that they encounter. Ezra 4 verse 1. "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. We do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us." And so initially, these people, which are, it seems, Samaritans, essentially, that have been there, they claim they want to help out. And then suddenly they turn against them. verse 5, "They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia." And then we read about this letter that they write to the to the government, and they accused them of being against the government, so on and so forth. And then we find the response to that. In verse 20, There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river. Toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. And so, verse 23, now when a copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So that gives us a little bit of background about what's going on. There was a return to Jerusalem. They started in rebuilding the temple. They got into some trouble. People were against them. They caused the work to stop. The building of the temple stops altogether. And it continues like that for about 15 years. These people have returned. They're not building the temple anymore. But then we come to chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. And so that's where Haggai and also Zechariah fit in here. The work had stopped. It had been 15 years. And then God gives Haggai these prophecies, and those are used by God to rekindle the work of God in building the temple. And then over in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14, we come to the end there. The elders of the Jews builded and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And so ultimately, we see what happened there. They were successful in rebuilding the temple, but it took God's speaking to them through this prophet to get them to do it again. So let's go back to Haggai chapter 1. We see in this prophecy actually four different messages, four different sermons that God gave to Haggai to deliver, and each one of them has a date at the beginning of them. And so that's how we see the divisions of these different prophecies. And so we're going to start in on the first one here tonight in chapter 1. And it's a message about priorities. It's a message about priorities. Let's look at verse 2 here. We'll continue on. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. I'll stop there. But this is addressing priorities here, this first message. And in verses 1 through 6, we see that Haggai points out the problems with the priorities. And then as we see the following verses, he helps them change. He tells them what they need to do. But tonight I want you to see the problems of the priorities that the people had. And we see in verse 1 that he first addresses Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. He is respecting their positions. He's recognizing that these people are leaders. They are important. They need to understand what's going on here. And then we come to the first problem that we see in verse 2, and we notice the excuses that they made. Notice the problem of excuses in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So their excuses had to do with time. They said the time is not come. It was not the right time to build the Lord's house. Perhaps it was a way of blaming God, of allowing circumstances to unfold, and they thought that perhaps they couldn't do the work of rebuilding. Perhaps it had to do with the trouble that they had encountered when they tried to do it before. Remember, they had laid the foundation of the temple already, and as soon as they started to do that, they encountered trouble, they encountered opposition, people that were against them. And maybe they feared that that same trouble was there, and because of that, the time is not right. But we see that God did not accept those excuses, however they were laid out. Notice that he speaks to them as the Lord of hosts in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come. That's an interesting way of referring to God, the Lord of hosts. The word for host just means armies. And it's a reminder that God is a God of armies, of angelic armies. He's able to call down angels to do whatever he tells them to do at any time. Whatever they were saying about the wrong time did not match the God that they claimed to serve. And so Haggai reminds them, this is what the Lord of hosts is saying. God exposes their excuses here, and he does not accept them. You know, it's easy for us to make excuses. We are very good at that. And so we need to look at our own lives. Are we making excuses? Is there something that we need to be doing that God has called us to do, and we've come up with excuses for not doing it, like the time is not right? Remember, they had trouble in the past. They got shut down. The government shut them down because of this opposition. But we see that God expected them to return to their work. Even though they had this opposition, it was shut down for a period of time. There was a storm that blew in, so to speak. God expected them to get back to it after that. And the same is true for us. You know, we may run into trouble. We may run into opposition in some way or form. And it may be that God is allowing that, and God is testing us through that. And he wants to see if we're really committed to it, if we're really willing to do the thing that we ought to do. And so we got to make sure that we don't come up with excuses like this. The time is not right. And then notice the second problem here tonight, verses 3 through 5. And that's the problem of selfishness. The problem of selfishness. Look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We see the selfishness is exposed here by the Lord. And he talks about, he asked them a question to expose their selfishness. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? He's getting them to think about their own homes and the house of the Lord in comparison. The idea of sealed here means to cover with panels. We see it used in Solomon's temple and palace. The houses were sealed. May refer to what was done on the ceiling, the paneling, the cedar paneling that was used there. But Haggai says their whole houses were sealed. Their whole houses were paneled with this nice woodworking. And, you know, evidently they had the time to do that, but not God's house. They let God's work go to waste, it says. O ye, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? They had let God's house become desolate. They had let God's house become waste. So we see their selfishness was exposed. They had the time and effort to work on their own homes, but they didn't have the time to work on God's. And then Haggai tells us that selfishness requires some self-examination. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Literally, this is the idea of to set the heart, to set the heart. Haggai uses that very often throughout this book. Consider your ways. Look at your heart. Look at your ways, the paths of your lives. We need to do that. We need to consider our ways. Look at our heart. That's how we can deal with selfishness. Can we see that in our own heart? You know, it's easy to see it in other people. Oh yeah, that person's being selfish over there. Look at what they're doing. We don't like that. And, you know, that bothers us. But wait a minute. God calls us to consider your ways. Consider your ways. Look into your own heart. Do you see any selfishness there? Do you see any self-focus? Is God exposing that in our lives where we put our own interests above His? It's a problem. It's easy to get wrapped up in our own life. And we can let some aspect of God's work go to waste or become desolate. Why? Because we're selfish. We would rather have our own way rather than do God's work. It's a problem of selfishness here. And then the third problem we see in verse 6, and that is a problem of emptiness. We see the emptiness here in verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. So the Lord knows what's going on in their lives, and Haggai exposes that. They're really not feeling all that great. They're really kind of empty. They have put in a lot of work in their farming activities. They've sown much, but what's the harvest been like? It says they harvest little. They eat, but they never have enough. They drink, but they're not filled. They're clothed, but there is none warm. They earn wages, but the money is lost. We see that there was a struggle financially here. Perhaps like Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And perhaps that was what was going on. They are being selfish about their money and their resources, and they find that what happens? It just disappears. It's like they put it in a bag with holes and it's gone. They experienced emptiness here. God was allowing them to do that. God was allowing them to face some of the consequences for their misplaced priorities. They were different consequences than they experienced before. These were people who had been through the Babylonian captivity. They had returned. It had been 15 years since they had returned. And yet God was bringing some other consequences in their lives to get them to see that something wasn't right with their priorities. They had an emptiness. And God is sending Haggai here to say, hey, look, everybody, you're empty. You're not satisfied. And so Admit that. Understand that. And perhaps God allows that same emptiness like that into our lives. Maybe we experience that in some way, some kind of dissatisfaction, some kind of emptiness. And we would do well to examine our hearts for the reason. Why is God allowing this? Why is God allowing this into our life? So we need to look at this text here tonight and just face the fact that our priorities can have some problems. You know, here we are at the beginning of a new year, and oftentimes we think about our goals, our resolutions, things that we want to work on, priorities. And so maybe let's start with, are there any problems? Are there any problems with our priorities? Do we see excuses? Do we see selfishness? Do we see emptiness in our lives? And then as we look at the next passage, beginning in verse 7, we see that God gives them some help. He exposes the problems here, and that's the first step. But then he gives them some exhortation and some guidance. And so, Lord willing, we'll do that at another time. But the first step here is to see the problem. And so tonight, let's ask God to help us see any excuses or any selfishness or any emptiness that might be in our lives today, and allow him to help us to change by his grace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us to consider our ways. Help us not to look only at the bad things that we see in other people, but help us to look at our own lives. Are we living for ourselves? Have we put our own things before the things of God? And Lord, we pray that we would be honest with you about the things that we see in our hearts. We know that you see these things, and you want us to come face to face with that and to admit that and to have the priorities that we ought to have as your people. Lord, we know that we're just like your people in the Old Testament, and we can start well, and yet we can drift from the things that we ought to be doing. And so help us to stay on course, even as we start this new year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.